Pods and Rec. Pods and Rec.
I mean, I don't mean brag or anything.
My name's Brad.
Bradka.
You could be like a European DJ or something and you don't even know it.
DJ Brad.
So welcome back to Pods and Rec episode 16.
Welcome.
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 We're excited to have you guys back. We are fresh off the laugh train of recording our new hot fresh intro straight from the club. We hope you liked it.
Hey, you know when somebody drops a beat, I just gotta throw it down.
How did we even get started with this Barbra Streisand song?
Because it's amazing.
Yeah, I don't even know why we brought that up, but what's more disappointing is that there used to be a website called GoBarbra.com where you can insert whatever you want into it, and Brad seriously spent, like, when he found it, well over an hour, going through everything. He was just like, fuck the police. Yep.
Yep. It was an awesome, awesome website.
Yeah. Well, it's disappointing it's no longer active.
Yeah.
Which is funny, I pulled up a Facebook, like a fan website for, it was just called GoBarbra.com. And it said from 2012, like, you are welcome. Here's a link to GoBarbra.com.
No.
And then that was 2012. 3 years later, there's somebody that commented is like, does it not work anymore? 2015. So I was like, at least we're not the only ones that are still interested in making sure that
they can no longer pay for their Squarespace account.
I feel like there's nobody that's just out there like, man, 3 years later after this song comes out, I really want to go back to that website.
That was us.
That was us.
10 minutes ago.
I feel like us and that one lone Facebook guy.
They could have, like, pawned it off on, like, other people who are fans and, like, you pay this for a month. You pay this for a month. Let's keep Go Barbra going.
That's keep Barbra going.
Now, I do remember there was a website to see if the Main Street Bridge was opened after there was that ship captain that ran into it. And you could go to the website, like, each day and check and see if the bridge had been opened or not.
Is this here in Jacksonville?
Yeah. There was it was like a year or two ago that they had a ship run into the bridge. And they had to close the whole thing down.
I would like that in my daily life because I go over the Main Street Bridge every day for work and sometimes it's closed and I have to get off in San Marco and go a really long detour. So if y'all, City of Drax, could just keep that website up and running, I'll check it if it's open or not every day.
That would be smart. BridgeAlert.com.
BridgeAlert.
So how was your week, Tammy?
My week was great. I spent half of it doing inventory for work.
Oh, lame.
Boo. And my inventory is like, it used to be just like one night of inventory in the retail store, and that was it. And now it's retail, and then I have to go to our cold storage place where we keep our ice creams and brownies and all kinds of goody goods. And then I have to go to U-Haul where we keep all of our packaging and stuff for the seasons. And then I have to go to Imason, which is where we keep all of our other bulk product crap. And you just have to do inventory for like 3 days in a row. And it's kind of a nightmare, but it's also not so bad. I don't hate it as much as I sound like I do.
Yeah.
But that was mostly it. Inventory. Yeah.
How was your week, Brad?
My week was actually pretty good. I feel like I've been very busy at work myself. And I like to keep it kind of positive when that comes around just because I feel it makes my day go by a lot quicker than it normally does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good. I liked it. Other than that, we've kind of been sick throughout the whole week. So we've just been, you know, sitting on the couch watching TV.
Snotting all over the place.
Yep. Yeah, just general grossness. It's not pretty.
Yeah. We had a romantic night of picking out what cold medicine we both would like.
Ooh. And then, nice. Then I fed her a gel cap, and then she fed me a gel cap, so it was really nice.
And your arms, like, interlock, yeah. Too. That's... Or you could have said that you sucked gel caps out of each other's mouths, like Lady and the Tramp. Sounds like Hannibal.
The romance.
Yeah, these guys are hot.
Nobody makes a cold as hot as the Silvises.
No. And we had a really fun time picking out tea too. That was pretty good. We went through most of our supply of tea, which we actually have quite a bit of it. So
I get a lot of free tea through work. If you guys want some, I'll send it to you.
Yes, we need a new. What? We need somebody to stock us
game
up.
Game changer.
There's artisan blends and wellness blends.
Did
and
we just become best friends?
And blend what? Blends.
So I get a lot of tea. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's cool.
Yum.
Sold.
My week was pretty boring too, but yesterday I did. Get to have some me time, and I went to go see Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which was really, really good. Tina Fey is amazing, as per usual.
Is it a comedy or drama or?
It's a mix of both. There's a lot of moments of like crazy seriousness, but there's a lot of there's you know typical comedy moments, but for the most part, it's a pretty serious movie.
All right, I gotta go see that.
I really enjoyed it a lot. And I'm not one that usually likes, like, war-type movies because they're too real.
Yeah.
And this one was still... It was very real, but the story was really nice, and it had a nice full circle in the end. Because there's that one moment where you're just like, I don't see where they're going with this or how they're possibly going to end it. And it was a good story. I liked it a lot.
I honestly don't know if I've seen, like, a full trailer for it. I think I've only seen just a little bit, so I... really don't even know what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most of the trailers I've seen make it out to be a more serious movie than I thought it would initially be, just because, you know, Tina Fey is in it, and so I just never really expect that.
The whole premise of the movie is that Tina Fey is a reporter. She's just kind of working from the office, and she feels like she's just writing for other people, specs and stuff, and so she feels one day... She's offered a position to go to Afghanistan and to, you know, hang out with...
Be like a journalist in the field?
Yeah, to be a journalist in the field. And it's kind of weird how they do it because they just collect a bunch of people from the office that don't have any ties. Like, they're not married and don't have children. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you guys, here's the offer if you want it. And she takes it. And so she's completely taken out of her comfort zone. And it's like how she changes. There. She definitely becomes a completely different person, and so that's the whole story.
It's like a wartime.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said.
Is it really?
Yes. I was like, I thought this shit was going to go full Eat, Pray, Love. I said that with my with a friend that I went to go see it with.
Was Eat, Pray, Love a war movie?
No. But it's like that whole movie is that she's just kind of like bored with who she is and she's never happy. So she's like, I'm going to go
travel to transform.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never ever heard anything. I know what the movie is, but I've never ever heard anything about the premise. So.
The only part that I really like to rewatch from that movie is whenever they're in Italy and they're eating. But then I get really hungry. like, I want this pizza. I think the pasta that she eats, it looks so good. So every time, like, if it's on TV, I'll end up making pasta later.
You also watch a lot of Food Network. I feel like that's kind of the same thing, though.
I used to, but a lot of people on Food Network really annoy me. So now I just watch a lot of HGTV. So now I just want to fix everything.
Yeah.
So I can't watch anything because I guess I'm super impressionable.
Well, they say you're not supposed to go like grocery shopping if you're hungry because you just naturally.
It's true, especially when there are two hungry people going to the grocery store, then you're just like, "Fuck, 100% man!"
True.
You gotta find like a good balance though, because if you go like when you're super full, you don't want to walk around. You're just like, "Oh, full! I just ate a ton of stuff. I can't even think about what I'd even want for dinner tonight." Mm-hmm. So you gotta find that happy medium.
Yeah,
eat some snacks. Then go to the grocery store.
Yeah. Eat more snacks.
I love the grocery store. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Does it ever bother you whenever people are at the grocery store, like, eating food as they're buying it? Like, have you seen the ones that just, like, open a bag of chips and just start eating it?
Yeah, that bothers me.
I always feel like... I feel like they don't pay for it later.
I definitely question it. I've been around multiple people in my life that open up, you know, they get one of the drinks from the coolers and they'll drink it as they go throughout the store and then just like leave it on a shelf somewhere or kind of like hide it underneath something in their cart and not pay for it. And that's not good, kids. Okay.
I'll be honest. One time I went to Publix and I ate like 3 or 4 coffee beans just because I wanted to. And
out of the little dispenser.
I didn't
How
pay for
dare
them.
You?
I was
that
a rebel.
Cost them like one penny.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Publix.
We learn something new about you, like, every episode.
I know.
One time it was a waterbed, now it's your freaking coffee beans.
I am a very, very deep person. I mean, nobody knows how deep the well goes.
So many layers.
I like that eye roll that you just did to yourself.
Only I know.
Do you even know how deep your well goes?
No. It's a deep, deep dark well, and I feel like a lot of it's subconscious. I don't even know. Like
you lose stuff in it.
I don't necessarily know. Yeah, maybe it's like
now I'm just
like
thinking
I block
of
a lot of things out, you know, and then
the ring.
I slowly.
Oh, I was just thinking of Inside Out.
Oh, yeah. It would be so good.
It's so good, but so sad.
It is memory dump.
It's such a good movie, though. Okay, I'm not going to go on a tangent about it, because I can talk forever about it.
Speaking of this, so I'm going to dig our way out of this, right?
All
right,
dig it out.
Speaking of Inside Out,
yeah.
And who else is in that movie?
Amy
Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Amy
Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Lewis
No,
crap. I'm really off poop lately.
Poops and Rec. No.
Poop's funny. I mean, it's okay.
Everybody poops.
It's in the book.
I have always wanted to make a parody of Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. and have it be Everybody Poops. I just think it would be so good.
I can already imagine
everybody
it. Like, that you're right. You're absolutely right.
We need to create a YouTube page so that we can put all of our great ideas up there.
Sometimes everybody cries.
When they poop.
They poop and cry.
At the same time. Happens to me sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's so good.
It's an emotional time.
I feel so relieved.
Alright, well that's enough poop talk. Talk and poop.
Hey, I tried to bring us to where we need to go. You derailed it.
Somehow you more derailed it though. Like it's going way off into the woods now, this train. So yeah. Let's hop back on track.
Choo-choo.
Like
the poo train.
Like the caboose. But
the caboose. Hilarious. Well, today we watched episode 21 of season 2. The title is 94 Meetings, and it aired April 29th, 2010. Synopsis is Leslie goes all out to save a gazebo at a mansion on the historical register from being destroyed, while April gets in trouble with Ron when she accidentally schedules 93 meetings for him on that same day. What do we think the 94th meeting is going to be? Guess we'll have to figure that one out.
Actually did forget as we were watching it.
I did too, because at the beginning when she says, like, you know, how many meetings do I have, April? You have 93. I'm like, what's the next? It's called 94 meetings. What's the 94th one?
Is this another possum being misspelled thing?
We still have not gotten to the bottom of the Fairway Frank debacle of how you spell possum.
Oh, possum.
Yeah. We actually forgot to record that part when we were talking about it. We talked about it before we recorded it. So
no.
Whenever I posted that episode, I was like, We never actually started a discussion on the podcast about how they spelled possum. Mm.
Yeah.
But it's that's wrong. In the past.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, it's wrong.
We're on a poop train that's moving forward.
Down Poopy Canyon.
And you can't go on that poop train until you finish these 94 meetings.
Nope. Yeah.
Poor Ron. Mm.
Maybe that's what it was. The 94th meeting was, because I've heard a lot of people say this, going to the bathroom is
pooping on company
time.
They're
going to a meeting.
Like a business meeting?
That 94th meeting.
Mm. That's not what it was, though.
It probably was. I mean,
he wishes that's what it was.
That's what I imagine it as.
The beginning of the episode opens with Mark coming to Leslie for advice. And this is kind of like, is this the first time he comes to her for advice? Because generally we see her go to him.
I think he's done it with and before.
Okay.
I want to say that he has.
Never really about work, but always just kind of about Anne.
Just because she knows about Anne.
So he's coming to Leslie, and he is, you know, talking about that their relationship is moving on the train, like the poop train. And he wants to move in with her. And Leslie says that, you know, most ladies, if they are fancy ladies, don't really want to move in with someone unless there's a possibility of marriage in the future. And he, like, raises his hand really quickly, and he's like, I'll marry her.
Uh-huh.
And that was a shock.
I like her reaction. I thought it was very similar to later on in the episode, how she just, like, can't, like, make a, she can't really say it, you know, she's trying to avoid being like, I support it.
Yeah.
You know, she's really drawing it out. Really remind me of how Andy was told that he can't say yes to anybody, so he was just like, boop. I guess what it really reminded me of is that their same reactions of like,
yeah,
not really knowing what to do, but their heart tells them to do one other thing, so they're just avoiding it. That was just an observation I just connected right now.
That was a really good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on your top five reasons why I'm friends with you list.
Top five best moments.
Yeah.
Is it like top, top five?
Top
like,
of the top. Is it
the number one?
Yes.
Is that the same as your like Wayne's World like swing list?
Yes. You are number one on my Wayne's World swing list.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Sorry, Brad.
Did we both whoop at
Damn
the same
it.
Time?
Yeah, we did. We're whoop girls.
No.
I couldn't really tell if, you know, Leslie's basically kind of speechless, as you just mentioned, so I couldn't really tell. I definitely don't think she's jealous. I think the Mark train has sailed, but you can't really tell if she's supportive of it or not.
Yeah. Well, towards the end of the episode, you learn that she's not a, she's more afraid about losing both of them because, you know.
That was a really great quote. I actually wrote it down. She said, every time a couple gets married, two single people die. And I was like, oh.
That's such a dark way of looking at it.
It's a super dark way of looking at it, but it's kind of true.
Especially for
you
somebody
guys
who's so...
bounced back, for sure.
Especially for somebody who's so positive.
Bounced back? Did we?
Spit take.
I mean, you like went on your honeymoon and everything, and like we were like, okay, we're here. And
are they ever coming back from Ireland?
Like, whatever, like just go live there now.
So, oh, yeah. So you mean we left the country?
Yes. But then you came back to our hearts. And our pants.
And Tyler was like, how dare you not try to meet Bono?
It's called pronounced Bono.
Bono.
Mmm, Bono's. Mm, Bono's barbecue.
For those of you who aren't familiar with Bono's, it's a barbecue place that we have. It's definitely here in Jax. I think it originated out of Colorado, but it's definitely not, like, everywhere.
Actually, the first Bono's was in Jacksonville.
Bono's. It's pronounced
it's
Bono's.
Bono's.
Then it originated in Ireland. Then.
Fuck you, go back to Ireland. You bitch. Leslie got pretty dark. She got pretty dark there. Claiming that Mark and Anne are going to die when they get married. And she's just not going to have any friends anymore. And maybe
she'll
sad,
have
like,
Tom, her little minion that she carries
like,
around.
She'll have Tom and April.
His little tiny body.
She's not left with that bad of friends, like if Mark and Anne were ever to go away.
Yeah.
So I don't feel that bad for her.
I mean, those are two of our least favorite people in the show, right? So
two of my least favorite people. I'm not going to... I mean, are you on that train with me?
Mark, yes, and no.
Pulling into station number two, the Mark and Ann stop.
Where did you get a conductor hat?
That's what I was going to say to Tammy. Like, is that a conductor hat? Next episode, you're going to come with one of those train whistles.
Yeah. I'm going to have one of those coats, too, that has, like, the penguin flippers.
Oh, yeah,
those
little stripies.
Really fancy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is turning into a shiny time station.
I'm turning into the penguin from Batman.
That was brought up
on Louis.
Yes. Okay. I was like, where did I hear this? Yeah.
Anywho. So this episode kind of centers around the fact that April accidentally has scheduled 93 meetings for Ron. on March 31st. And she thought that date did not exist.
Nope.
Which is, like, it's good effort on her part. She honestly, in her heart, didn't think it existed. And so, I mean, I think that's pretty hilarious.
So, in her rhyme, she said 30 days past September, April, May, and November, I believe.
April, June. Right?
Yeah. No, that's how it actually goes.
Oh, sorry.
She throws March in there, though. March. She's like...
Yeah. April, March, and November.
We can't even get it right.
Damn it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Totally, totally a day.
Oh, really? My mom used to say that all the time. Yeah. But she said it, the first part differently. April worded it different from what I've always heard.
Oh.
And that's it. That's all I got. That's going on your top, that's your top five worst topics that I've ever brought.
You're balancing out pretty quickly.
No. I thought the Bonos thing was pretty good.
I feel like I'm on a seesaw right now. Take me up and down.
Glass case of emotions.
Milk was a bad choice. yes. So Ron is not happy about this at all. And he's not very nice to April.
No.
As the day goes on. And that makes me kind of sad. He describes it as a blood-soaked, nightmarish hellscape that he is in. Which I think is a little bit over the top.
He's a bit dramatic whenever he's not getting what he wants. Just like in the previous episode, whenever he's like, I smelled the bacon in your purse and I already ate it. And now he's like, this is the worst. And he like, that's just like fit runaway.
Did anybody notice that Ron also ran in this episode too really quickly?
Into the bathroom. He was like, ooh.
And he just has such an odd run that he does.
Sometimes he's just a baby.
April was supposed to be the moat that kept the citizen barbarians away from Swanson Castle. Instead, she blew up the castle and stabbed me in the face.
Again, overdramatic.
But, I mean, 94 meetings is a lot of meetings, especially if your number one person, Leslie Knope, runs away to go do her own thing.
Her very first meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's, like, commitment or ADD.
I think she just got the wrong one. Because if she got some of the other meetings, like, hey, can you fix these swings? She'd have been like, hell yeah, I can fix those. It's easy. Just write it on a list and we'll do that. It's not going to be like, we have to go save this historic piece. Which I wonder if there were any other, like, historic buildings or something like that, that if Leslie was in on the meetings, that she would have found out about and kind of freaked out. Like, oh, shit, swings? I'm there.
No.
Is this a historic swing?
Do you think Andy ever fixed the swing? Like, did he ever do anything about that?
I love that he has that he's got such a soft spot in his heart. Like, he wants to help people. And
he wanted to fix the swing.
Yeah.
Like, that
warmed
honestly
my heart.
I feel like that wouldn't really be that difficult of a job either. I think I think Burt Macklin could handle it for sure.
I agree.
Which
screw in the swing.
There was the return of Burt Macklin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, just the talks of it. He didn't find a badge, so it was
a bang.
I like to imagine that he was Burt Macklin for one of the meetings that you didn't see. So.
That's true. Yes. That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, Brad.
No problem.
I always I wonder with this episode, like, why it's even Ron's job to take meetings. Like, I feel like in the past couple of months, if these people came and they were just pawned off on the Leslie could handle all of it. And she would love to handle all of it. And then you wouldn't have 94 in a day. So it's kind of funny that I guess we wouldn't have a storyline and I'm digging deep into it, but I just send everyone to Leslie.
If Leslie would have done it, it would have been an even 100.
No. Oh, that's she right. She wanted to find 6 more people.
She did.
Like, what is
this
wrong?
This is crazy.
With you?
She well, 7 at the time, because we didn't know about the 94th one.
No! Oh my gosh. We gotta figure out what that 94th meeting is.
Oh my god.
So, I also kind of expected that these meetings were going to be some of the crazier people that you see in their town hall meetings.
Yeah, I was hoping.
Well, there was a couple.
You.
There was the angry guy.
Enough for you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The town hall people.
I like the town hall people. But these were all meetings that were completely sensible. It was like, you know, let's fix this swing.
Well, except for the guy, the one, which I wrote it down. Is this too revealing for a public pool?
Oh,
and he's like, please get your groin off my desk.
Zach said this body makes you uncomfortable too.
Oh.
I did like how the camera didn't just focus on the front of him, it panned around. Yeah. It was just like.
You got the back shot too. You got his caboose. Yeah.
But.
You did.
It's all
you
got, 360.
You got another crazy townsperson though, with the guy who yells at the little girl's softball team.
Something like that.
He's like, you suck.
That guy has been. That's a town hall meeting guy, though. He's been in a couple of the meetings in the past,
and he's always screaming about something.
Yeah. Always.
There was a quick flash of the redheaded town hall meeting girl who I forget what she was talking about last time we saw her, but she was the one who was like, "And I think that there's mice and stuff." There was like a quick flash of her, and then she was gone.
Yeah. I did notice that. I wanted to hear what she was saying.
She got paid like $50 for this episode.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Worth it.
This episode had a title. Like, did you see how it, like, flashed to black and in white it said 94 meetings?
Yeah.
Like, really quick. That was super weird.
I did notice that. That was weird.
It was like it was a movie or something.
What?
Or it's like an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Except we didn't get a date and time.
Today.
So
did anybody else really enjoy whenever Ron was asking everybody else to help him with the meetings, and then he states that it has to be he would accept anybody, but it has to be somebody with a brain, and then Jerry pops in, and he immediately is like, "No, Jerry, you can go home."
Go home early. And Jerry's face looks so happy. He's like, "Oh, yeah, really? That's great."
I love that. He's like, "Best friend ever."
It's so bad.
I mean, but Jerry got the easiest of it then, because he just got a free day off.
That's true.
Amazing.
I feel like if he just wanted everybody to say no, like, why wouldn't he have? Like, he knows that Jerry, he's a klutz, so, like, he would just kind of fumble the entire time during the meeting. They'd be like, whatever, I'm out of here. Like, isn't that a good opportunity to use, Jerry? And where was Donna?
Donna wasn't even in this episode. You're right. Mm-mm. Where was she?
She was at a Benz meeting. Yeah. Mercedes-Benz meeting.
her baby got recalled, and she had to go
Oh, no! Oh, my God! She does that, like, screeching, life. Like...
Like a screaming goat.
Do they have like group meetings for people who own Mercedes Benz? I'll bet you they do.
Yeah, they're called the Benz Brigade. Okay.
Duh. Yeah. You even looked it up?
You never heard of that on the
You guys are liars. Stop trying to fool our podcast listeners. There is no
This
meeting.
Episode is sponsored by the Benz Brigade.
Benz Brigade. I got the Benz.
Next meeting in Chicago.
Yeah. I got the Benz.
Didn't you? This is the second time that you've made a reference to that Kraft macaroni commercial.
Actually Kraft macaroni and cheese. So.
I got the blues. Kraft macaroni and cheese.
I forgot about that.
And you're making me hungry.
My brother likes to randomly say that sometimes. It's pretty funny.
I'm going to start saying that randomly now and see how many people stare at me.
And it's going to be people that never got to see that commercial, and they're going to be like, what the fuck
are you
saying? Oh, my God.
Do they still...
No.
Nobody has the blue box... Blue box blues... Blue blocks.
No, I don't think they do that anymore.
I can't say that. I want to say blocks.
I honestly have
the blue blocks.
That's what they say at the very end is the blue box blues.
Boob blocks.
Don't make fun of my speech problem.
Blue blocks.
The blue blocks.
Problem.
It's tough. It's tough to say.
I'm going to go cry now.
Don't cry.
We get a little answer into the awkwardness between April and Andy in this episode.
I wrote that down.
Yeah. It was hard on my heart once again.
Yeah, said first interaction since bar awkwardness.
Yeah.
And he did address it. And he was like, she's 20, and that's so sad.
Yeah, it is sad. I just wish that he was able to act, like, differently, or at least maybe try and, like, be a little bit honest with her instead of just, like, kind of making it awkward. Because she's doing a nice gesture, bringing him coffee, and, you know... They could have had a conversation and decide to just be friends. Like, April could understand it, or...
Well, they haven't even addressed that they have feelings for each other.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, Which you can't blame Andy in this situation whatsoever, because he's right. Like, when he was 9, she was an infant. And that's got to be weird, you know? Not everybody are cool with that. So I don't blame him at all for, you know, how he's feeling and that he's struggling with it. But it's just, it sucks that, and this is my pet peeve in every single, you know, film or TV show that you watch, is that so many situations could just be avoided if people talk to each other. And if you make that criticism, it's like, then why are you watching it? Like, what are you going to watch? And it's like, oh, we sat down and had a civil conversation, and now we both see eye to eye. Credits.
The end. I do that too. I do.
That's what, I forget what show I was watching. Oh, my roommate at the time was super into Gossip Girl, and so she's like, you gotta watch it, it's an amazing show. And I was like, oh, whatever, it's not my thing. And one time I sat down and watched it with her, and the first couple seasons are actually really, really good. But everything in that fucking show could be avoided if they just finished their sentences.
That show is the epitome of that bullshit.
Right?
I think every episode, like, leaves off on, like, a cliffhanger because, like, oh, they missed a call from this person, and then this happened. No, they didn't have time to tell them, or, like...
Yeah, and it's, like, even whenever they confront each other, they're just like, you wouldn't understand, and it's just like, okay, keep talking.
Right.
Just finish, and then they just leave, and you're just like, God damn it. So, from a writer's perspective, it makes total sense that that's what they're going to do, is that they're not going to talk about it, because they're going to try to stretch it as far as possible. Right. I do hope that they do resolve this feelings that they have inside.
I want them to have bliss.
I do too.
All of their lives.
Because they're perfect for each other. I mean, you saw the photo that they took together the last episode. It was
precious.
It was so cute.
They seem pretty chummy in that picture too, so.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get an answer soon. You know, April, she might be turning 21 soon. Maybe that'll change Andy's mind a little bit.
Maybe.
She'll be an adult. She can't rent a car.
I do think it's a little immature of her that she gets so incredibly prideful and bitter whenever Andy is still, I mean, they were always friends first. And even though he tried to, you know, he invited her out for a drink and it didn't work out, like, she's just too prideful, just like, I don't need your sympathy. And, you know, like, that part kind of is like, you know, you're an adult, like, don't be bitter. Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know how you feel about that.
It kind of shows, like, her childish nature that she's not able to be, like, you know, kind of accepting of them just being friends, like, if that's all that he wants. Like, if he doesn't want anything further, like, that's his right, and maybe he just does want to be friends, and it's her. As an adult, she would be able to respect that, but she's still, like, learning emotional things.
I mean, she's only 20, so, I mean, you gotta think about it like that. Yeah. She's still really young. I mean, she
has... And the last relationship she was in was, you know...
Yeah.
A sham.
Right.
Yeah. You're right. Really, I keep forgetting that. Ben and Derek.
Who knows if she's ever had, like, an actual relationship with a boyfriend before. I really don't think that she has, because...
Of how she is, and she's so disinterested.
And her only growth has been, like, since she's worked for the Parks Department. That we know of, but it's what we can expect.
Yeah,
that's true, because she took an internship at a young age and just kind of accepted, like, moved right into a job.
Interesting to think that, like, all of her, most of, like, her life lessons and, you know, different things like that are learned from the people in the Parks Department around her. Like, they're literally shaping and molding her into the person she is.
That's why I always like it whenever Leslie's so motherly towards her, because she's such a good role model.
Yeah.
Speaking of motherly, we get to meet April's actual parents in this episode.
I love how they're so happy and positive. Yeah.
But it's so strange, because they are so, you know, chipper and upbeat, and then both April and her sister are just unsocial, they don't like people. You can already tell, and you already meet her sister for, what, maybe a minute or two?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's exactly like April.
Yeah, they casted her sister really well.
Yeah.
They did, yeah.
I first thought it was her sitting in the chair whenever they cut to her.
Yeah, which... We do see her come back, the sister, She does come back later. So it's kind of cool that we get to, she'll be a lasting character throughout. Not like really impressionable at all, but she'll be around.
Yeah. We find out April's nickname is Zuzu. Zuzu. Where do you think that came from?
And we know that she knows Ron's secret.
Yeah.
I loved that.
That was such a good scene.
Yeah.
That was.
That's why they're meant for each other.
Spoiler, the 94th meeting is April getting so fed up that she quits suddenly because she's frustrated with Andy. Ron had his little fit of like, you fucked up moment and, you know, all this, you're stabbing me in the face and all this like little baby moments, and she can't take it anymore and just up and quits. And I love the way that they always do that. And especially, it's mostly scenes with Ron that he's the one that approaches it and he's like, okay, I'm being too much. And so it was really great that he was the one to kind of drag her back. Besides, it was the conversation with Andy that really convinced him.
Yeah, they're just freaking playing with our heartstrings. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
Andy. I forget what he says to Ron, really, but, you know, just about...
Well, he threatens to quit.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll quit right now. And he's like, you don't work for me. And he's like, and I never will. And he just like leans down and starts shining his shoes.
Yep, goes back to shining shoes.
That's a good day. Yeah, I think that was pretty big of Ron to, you know, go. He has the conversation with Andy, but ultimately it's his decision to go to April's house and kind of make that step towards mending the relationship. And I think that was a good choice on his part.
Yeah. Do you think that since she knows about Duke Silver, it's because her mom has all of the records? Do you think her mom kind of like freaked out a little bit whenever he was at the door, just like, ooh, he's right there? Or did she not recognize him?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
I would think that the mom would be able to recognize him.
Without sunglasses, a hat, and his saxophone.
Yeah, like the most ridiculous.
His saxophone.
Yeah, it's not really like he wears a mask or anything. You can kind of tell. And he takes his sunglasses off during his performances sometimes. So she was probably like giddy a little bit, but they didn't really play off of that at all. Like, or maybe they did and we would need to watch it back again. Cause I wasn't really.
Like her eyes just was like.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you play it in like 0.5 speed, you see like her freak out slowly, like. But when it's on like regular speed, you don't see any of it.
She seemed pretty excited. I mean, like I said, she's pretty upbeat. So who knows? Maybe she's not normally like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, maybe that's where April and her sister get it from.
Layer of death.
So at the other end of this lovely episode, we've got Leslie freaking out because Jessica Wicks, married to Nick Newport Sr., ex-CEO of Sweetums, or is he still the CEO?
He is ex-CEO. I believe that his son has already taken over at this point because they've introduced him in the past.
Yeah, with their healthy vests. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's
so,
we had dinner with Brad's family the other day, and his dad wore a vest, and that's all I could think about. Because I've never seen him wear a vest before, and I was like, your dad's a vest man now? And he goes, healthy vest. Yeah, it was one of those, like... Yeah, he said that he got some gift cards to, like, a sporting goods store, and he had to buy some stuff, so he bought a healthy vest.
So he
gotta
keep
it cool warm. It was kind of a hot day.
What were you doing, Jerry? Well, that's weird.
Well, and that's why you don't have sleeves on it, because it was kind of a hot day.
Didn't
so
you just have a vest on and nothing underneath?
Oh, you're making it weird.
No, he was fully clothed, thank you.
Uh-huh. With extra clothes on.
Yep.
Extra clothes.
Phew.
So Leslie gets a visit from, the first meeting she takes is a guy from the Historic Society saying that Jessica Wicks, wife of the old CEO of Sweetums, is doing like renovations and remodeling to this really old historic Turnville mansion. And Leslie freaks out and tries to go stop her.
I mean, can you just do renovations to some old mansion?
I feel like you've got to get some sort of like historical...
Oh, yeah, for sure. She has to get permits before they can do any of that.
It's like they always fall back on, like, Sweetums owns the town. So it's like, they can do whatever they want.
That's true.
It sucks.
Yeah, Sweetums. I would totally be just like Leslie in that situation, because it is part of history.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I did like this scene where she's explaining, because the whole thing is about the gazebo that she's most concerned about. And I like this scene that it only zooms in on her in one of, like, another Pawnee mural.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just showing, like, this is a historic gazebo where there was in their first interracial marriage. And it just shows Leslie in front of it, and they're, like, getting married, and then it keeps zooming out. And it's, like, actually this horrible scene that, no, like, only two things survived, and they were both horses or something like that, because the family's all attacked.
Horses.
Yeah. But I like how they revealed that. It was a really nice moment.
You liked that they revealed there was a giant massacre?
No, I like how...
God, you're the worst.
Yeah. Sorry, this is going to go on my top 10 worst moments.
It's already on there.
Stephanie.
Oh, are you just taking mental notes?
Yep.
Man.
No, I like reveals. I like how they reveal stuff. That it's, and that's how they do most of their murals, is that it's like they're just showing a part of it, and they keep zooming out, and like, oh, God,
and
it's
incredibly violent.
It's incredibly violent and horrible. So what did you think of whenever Jessica addresses Leslie? She calls her Leslie Norp.
it flew me back to the beauty pageant episode and Torkoal.
Torkoal.
Well, there was like a scene with she was introduced as Leslie Norp at one point.
Mm-hmm. Was it at the beauty pageant?
I think it was on a report. I think it was a somebody said Leslie Norp.
Something like that. It's a funny callback though.
Yeah.
Either way. And of course,
there were a lot of callbacks.
Jessica Wicks is always going to be like the character. We kind of see it like at the beginning now. Spoiler, she's in future episodes.
It was a PERD report on the TV. Do you remember that? Where
how did
he was just like,
it was PERD.
I don't know.
You shamed him.
No.
Yep. It was a PERD report. It was on the TV and they were listening and it says Leslie Norp. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember now. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're
Jay Jackson would be so sad.
He's never coming on.
Never.
Jessica Wicks, she, you know, like in future episodes, she's always one to kind of almost like backhand compliment or kind of like undercut Leslie and the Parks Department, but like in a really sweet, like smiling way that you're almost uncertain that she just did say that. And so we kind of get to see that a little bit in this episode. Her evolution to being a bitch.
It's coming.
Sweetums.
If you can't beat him, sweetums.
Can't beat him, sweetums. So she's throwing this party for Nick Newport Sr. He's turning 85. But she's been planning it for 3 months.
Who plans
a party for 3 months?
I mean, he could be dead by that point.
I know. Kind of shocked me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I thought he was dead when he was sitting there. At one point, he was just like,
I thought they were going to be like, nope, he's gone.
At one point, he falls asleep. He falls asleep in his chair, and it looks like he is not alive anymore.
Yeah, he looks like an old guy.
Old man. And then seeing his birthday present from her.
Oh,
that was bad.
Yeah, that was rough. They apparently for his birthday, she had gotten him a nude painting of herself, like a life-size nude painting. Then also gave him a painting of himself nude, which
sitting in his wheelchair nude.
That's not a gift.
Weird. Could you imagine being that painter?
They just cried the whole time.
I hate my life, but I'm getting paid so much money.
I'd rather see one of those Wamapoke murals they had.
So Leslie, I wrote down that she's kind of a nut job in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, she's definitely Wiggin. And she ends up, you know, Jessica Wicks is like putting her foot down. She's like, I'm not doing it. We own this town. That gazebo's getting torn down today. And so Leslie, what does she do? Activist her. She chains herself to the mansion gate. And is thereon referred to as the gate lady. Isn't that the gate lady? So funny.
We tried to get a soundbite of whenever the truck's actually coming in. And they're going to go tear down the gazebo. And she's like, Tom, quick, stop it with your tiny body.
Your tiny body. Well, did you guys notice how Tom, like, went and ran and hid behind a sign whenever they came through?
He did.
Running away, just like Fairway Frank incident.
Yeah.
but there was too many background sounds, so we couldn't get the sound bite to be right. But it that was a really good moment.
Tom's a scaredy cat.
Yes.
What?
How could they not notice that that's how the gate opens? Even though that was, it's so much funnier. That,
yeah.
And there was absolutely nothing she could have done, you know, in the other case.
And Tom just keeps, like, opening and closing it when she's trying to talk to the camera later. He's like, it's just so funny every time.
I would do that, too. Up.
And then Mark and Ann also set it off, too, where it started opening.
She's
when
like, nope, stop. That kind of reminds me of that scene in Bridesmaids whenever she's hopping over the gate and then somebody opens it up and she's on top of it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You pointed it out while we were watching it, but you can definitely tell that Amy Poehler is super pregnant.
Yeah. She is. With baby number two.
I was surprised how much they showed her from, like they how much they showed her belly. I feel like they could have... They were just like, eh, fuck it.
Yeah, I think it's just at that point of, like, meh. I mean, she's wearing darker clothing. Mm-hmm. So, like, at first glance, maybe you wouldn't notice. But as it's opening, I'm shocked they did that to her as she... Right. But I could totally see her being like, whatever.
Right.
Like, I'll do it. It's not going to endanger the baby because it's just kind of slowly opening.
And she probably tells her kid now, like, change your fits.
I wonder, how far along was she at this point? Because, I mean, I could only really tell at that point. At that point when she's chained to the gate. But they show her, you know, waist down, you know, the whole time. So.
She must have, maybe it was like one of those overnight things where it was like she was fine the day before and then overnight it was like, boom, there's a baby belly. And I had to shoot the scene.
I love seeing how people cover up baby bellies. Did you watch the most recent episode of Walking Dead?
No.
They show Alana Masterson, who plays Tara in The Walking Dead, is super pregnant.
Is she really?
She's super pregnant.
I didn't know she's pregnant.
Yeah. And while they were filming this, she said that she was like 8 months pregnant at this point. She hasn't been in the previous episodes, and so they show her in this one, and there's an obvious scene where they're covering it up, like she's wearing a hoodie and she's like holding it out like really far, like playing with it, and I'm like, pregnant. Yeah. And there's another scene. There's a kitchen scene.
I think I enjoyed the dinner plate more.
Yeah, there's a kitchen scene, and it's like the way that the camera is set up, it's like on the counter, low, and it's showing a dish rack, like a drying rack.
Yeah.
And there's a huge dinner plate that is just perfectly covering her bottom. So it's just like a neck and like a head, and then like a dinner plate showing like as she's talking. And I was like, that is like one of the most ridiculous scenes I've ever seen. Because they always give actresses like giant bags or, you know, dress them in dark colors and they hide them behind stuff.
Yeah.
Because there was another woman from The Walking Dead, Sonequa Martin-Green, she was pregnant in one of the previous seasons, and they just gave her a bigger coat, because she's a small woman, and so if you just look at her from behind, she's one of the ones you can't see at all, but I just thought that was funny, and maybe since they're just, like, in this, you're like, meh, whatever, it'll be funnier either way, nobody's gonna, who the fuck cares if she's, like, pregnant in real life? You know,
no one's gonna make a big deal out of that.
She'll still be just as funny. She's such a good sport for all the stuff that she does while she's pregnant, just to get a laugh.
Show must go on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any final thoughts about this episode?
The only other thing I wanted to point out was another throwback was another Dennis Feinstein. The attack by Dennis Feinstein when Tom's making his cloud that he
creates.
You close the door.
I don't know that I'd want to wear a perfume or a cologne called Attack. Like, I don't know that it would smell very well.
It would assault your face with good smells. So
that's one way to look at it for sure.
So I also wanted to point out that me and Andy are like soulmates, it feels, because he went to a meeting and he basically signed himself up for an Ultimate Frisbee League. And that is something I'd completely do.
I feel like we're going to have to make a segment that's like Andy and Brad's soulmate corner.
If you had us soulmate both moments. In a room and you had to pick which one was me and which one was him, I don't think people could do it.
We can do one of those BuzzFeeds of who said it. Have you seen those that they'll do?
Yeah.
So it would be Who Said It, Brad Silvis, or Andy Dwyer.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
Yeah.
I haven't backflipped out of a kiddie pool naked, though, so...
God damn it, why not?
He's one up me on that one.
Ooh. We have a fenced-in backyard, so...
Yeah. People can still see that kind of thing.
Do you have any final thoughts about this episode, or do you have an MVP in mind?
Really, like, my only final thought is, I wrote down, I love April and Ron's relationship. The end of the episode, like, I almost felt like I was getting teary-eyed when they kind of, like, rekindle and make up, and she's like, fine, whatever, I'll come back to work. You know, like, because she's so nonchalant and non-caring, but they love each other. They really do. I honestly don't have an MVP. I couldn't decide because I was like, Leslie's a nut job. Ron was a dick. Like, April kind of like, you know, she screwed up with Ron. I guess April, maybe, but I don't really know why I would give it to her.
But she screwed up too, like, right, in a major way. But.
Yeah, she screwed up too. Tom was annoying with Jessica Wicks and wanting to be like her little like walk around slave baby.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't really have an MVP.
Mine would be Andy.
Okay.
Just because of, every character had their problems, this one for sure. But Andy, honestly, he didn't mean to hurt anybody. He just wanted to help, and the meeting that he did take, you know, he wanted to give this woman new swings really bad, and, like, he was trying to be sweet to April, and he brought her.
Honest with her.
Yeah, didn't he bring her coffee too?
She brought him coffee.
She brought him coffee. That's right.
Was weird.
And so I don't think he's meaning to be weird, and he's really the one in the very end that is just like, I will quit my job unless you hire her back or get her back.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really the only one that I can say that deserved that, because he had moments of just being. He's just a sweet guy.
Yep. I'd say that's a fair fight.
Yep.
You?
I actually agree that it would be Andy, but I also want to bring up that he still kind of had that hesitation with April, you know, because she's so young, so I definitely think that detracts from it.
Everybody, this whole episode has like a plus one, minus so two.
Right. This is like the lesser of the evils.
Mm-hmm.
He was... The least imposing of any of their screw-ups that they had. So, yeah, I would still give it to him. I definitely thought that him trying to fix the swing, him, you know, trying to step up and help Ron with some of these meetings, him, you know, threatening to quit his job, that he, you know, with Ron, even though he doesn't really have any, you know, say-so over
I have a good question for everybody.
What's that?
What do you think Jerry did with the rest of his half day off from work?
Oh, man.
I'm going to say hung out with Gail and his girls. I'm imagining it's like summertime and they're just like eating watermelons out by their massive pool that they probably have and just chilling.
Man. I'm going to go with get himself a burrito.
That's what I was going to say. He's going to get himself a burrito and go walk Lord Sheldon.
Lord Sheldon, get a burrito. Maybe do something artistic as well.
Maybe buy a new Roomba for Tom?
Maybe.
Oh, Roomba shopping.
Where do you even shop for a Roomba?
I don't know.
Sharper image.
He's going to go to the Best Buy and be like, what is an MP3 player?
I do have one final thing that I wanted to say, and I agree with you guys on Andy being MVP. So let's give it up for him.
Give it up for Andy.
Go, Andy! The last thing that I want to mention is it's always, like, the running kind of joke throughout the series is that it's always Councilman Hauser that she, like, gets into shenanigans around, you know? Like, she had, when Andy was giving her a piggyback, they almost ran into Councilman Hauser. And then in this episode, we get another run-in, which is pretty great.
Miss Snow.
Councilman Hauser. I saw your penis.
Leslie runs into the men's bathroom to chase Ron down, and Councilman Hauser's in there, and she sees his penis.
So I was just thinking about that scenario too, and she would definitely not give you any personal space if you were in there, which is like a huge pet peeve for most men.
Right.
Because I've seen people that, you know, walk in and they'll start having the whole conversation with you while you're at the urinal.
Ugh.
I don't want to do that. I want to do my business and get out of this room.
Get out. So Hansman Hauser's always like a good sport about
party it, party foul, Leslie.
Yeah.
No, that didn't sit well with me.
Oh, the other thing we didn't talk about was Anne, whenever she's taking her meetings, everybody starts showing her stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, oh, you're a nurse, let me show you this. So I just thought that was funny, and she's like, I diagnosed 2 melanomas today or something like that.
2 malign tumors.
Malign tumors? I don't think so. Yeah, she diagnosed some.
Yeah.
She nursed when she wasn't supposed to be nursing.
They were both benign, which means that the people are going to be okay. Malignant's the best.
Malignant.
Like Maleficent.
Evil.
That's what I always like. I know Malignant's the bad one because I always think of Maleficent. Is that weird?
No, that's perfectly.
Okay. Bye.
Maleficent, and it turns into a dragon.
Amazing.
So, how would you rate this episode, Brad?
Oh, I mean, it was a good episode. I'm not going to lie. I did enjoy it. It's probably not my favorite, but I definitely think that they could have done a lot more with some of Ron's meetings, and I wish I could have seen more of them. Like, if there were some deleted scenes of this, I think it would make it so much better. But I would give it 3 out of 5 March Timber 1st.
That's a good one.
1/10.
1/10. Yeah, I wrote that. I just didn't remember if she said first or one.
I actually kind of really enjoyed this episode, and I think it was because of how, like, unredeeming the characters seemed this particular episode. You know, they were all still great, the same characters and stuff, but we kind of saw different, not-so-pleasing sides to them, so it was a kind of nice development for me, and I gave it a 4.2 out of 5 gazoinks bows.
I really, really enjoyed this episode. It made me laugh a lot. I wrote down a lot of great quotes from it. I gave it a 4.75 out of 5, winning the all-time City Hall single-day meetings record.
That's good.
I had a lot of ones that I was thinking of saying, like comfy fur-lined boots, attacked by Dennis Feinstein,
broken swing nose boops.
Yeah. I had Tom being a gold digger.
Yeah.
Large naked portraits, being so angry you can't think of another color.
Not white.
And March Timber 1/10, which you said.
Yep.
Good times.
Good times.
Great times.
The best times.
So I also real quick wanted to bring up, so she had mentioned that Nick Newport Sr.'s favorite color was Miami teal, which may being a football fan, you know, is he a Miami Dolphins fan? Because they have a teal.
They do. Color. I mean, I would almost call it, though, like more of like an aquamarine or like a turquoise.
Yeah.
It's not really, like, the Jags have the teal, okay?
I mean, is there such thing as Miami teal? Like, is that another color that I just don't know about? Because I feel like they make up a lot of colors.
It's in your Crayola 64 crayon box.
Oh, I never used that crayon.
That was my favorite crayon box as a kid. All 64.
The huge one?
Yeah.
It was giant.
Yeah. I don't ever remember if I got one.
Oh my gosh, it had like the little, like,
yeah.
It was like a stepladder of crayons. It was amazing.
Crayons.
Never ran out of colors.
Never.
So what are you watching, Tammy?
I am watching House of Cards. It came back early March for season 4 of The Underwoods, and it is amazing. This season, I mean, every season's pretty great. The second season kind of lost me for a while, but you know, season 4, they're really getting back into it. And I can't talk about it that much because you guys haven't seen it. But maybe one day you guys will start watching it, and I can talk to you about it because it's really great. And you know, it's kind of coming back like a relevant time in our society right now with all of the politics going on with the campaign and everything, so it's kind of interesting to watch the things that happen in that show and see that they're actually happening in real life, and it's actually kind of frightening.
Yeah,
terrifying.
It's a really good show. I recommend it to anyone who hasn't started watching it. It's like 13 episodes per season. They're on the 4th season. You can binge it on Netflix.
Nice.
And chill.
Good.
So, we have taken it upon ourselves because we just found out that the new season of Louie had been placed on Netflix. So, if you haven't watched that show, it's really, really, really good, but also very dark. Yeah. And it's funny. It's kind of, the styling is kind of similar to modern, or not modern,
Master
romance,
of None.
Master of None, just because, like, the scenery and how it's very vivid and everything kind of stands out pretty well. But it starts Louis C.K., and it's just about his, like, everyday life. He's a comedian in the show. And it's just kind of about him and some of his findings and, you know, him having kids, him doing stand-up comedy. But it's an excellent, excellent show, and I highly recommend it if you guys get a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. They just put season 5, right? Season 5?
Yes.
I need to watch season 5.
Yeah, it's really good. We almost watched half of the season in the first day.
So. Yeah, it's pretty easy to crank through.
Well, it's only like 8 episodes, I want to say. It's pretty quick.
Yeah, it's pretty, I think it's longer than that. Maybe, I don't know. It's worth taking a gander. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have anything different.
Cash Cow. Somebody's in love with Cash Cow.
It's pretty awesome.
And so am I.
Oh, so last night...
she doesn't remember because she was drunk.
Oh, I was a little drunk. Last night, Tammy came over really late at night because I convinced her to, and she was around the corner. And we had nothing to watch. We were watching an episode of The Office, and then that ended. And so we were flipping around, and we found Cash Cab.
Yes!
Shout out to Ben Bailey.
Shout out, Ben Bailey. You follow us on Twitter, and you are a hunk.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever want to be on that show, but it's really amusing. Just because I feel like I would be that person of like, I can't remember what color crayon that would be. Oh God. Although I was the episode that we watched, they had a question for the game Duck Hunt, and the people that were in the car had to like.
It was an older couple was in the car, so they hadn't played Duck Hunt ever.
Yeah, so they had to ask somebody on the street. If he knew the answer, and of course the guy was like, hell yeah, Duck Hunt, yeah. So I was like, but I get so nervous about trivia that I would be so nervous, bright lights and everything, and going in there and be like, you got this one, Brad.
So question, whenever they have that like lifeline where they can ask a random person, do they get to choose the person that they ask, or does he just pull up to a random person?
He just pulls over. Because I've seen it, like sometimes they'll get ignored and they're like, all right, we'll try the next one.
Well, they got real lucky with that one because the guy that they pull up next to was just this like young nerdier looking kind of guy.
Yeah.
So
he looked like Brandon. A real Duck Hunter player.
Yeah, he looked like he knew about Duck Hunt. So
he generally like whenever they land on that question, he just pulls to the side and like they have to work with what they're given. So hopefully there's some people out there.
Homeless man. Let me ask you about Duck Hunt real quick.
Can you help?
Stop telling me about aliens.
So I think whenever we are in New York, if we're taking a cab, we're going to have our trivia dream team with us at all times.
Yeah.
Being like, yep, there's 6 of us.
Like, my mom and I would watch Cash Cab when I was younger because it's been on a really long time.
It has.
And I would always, like, I had a little notebook that I kept with me for just, like, random, like, notes and thoughts and stuff. And every time we would watch it, I'd have it with me so I could write down all of his driver's license plate numbers and cab numbers that he would have, because it does change up like every episode, because otherwise like people could like track him down and stuff like that. And I would write him down and I would take it with me to New York, because we'd go like every year to New York, but we were never in the Cash Cab. We could never find him.
I love that show. We used to watch it every summer. That's like Brad new information type shit right there.
I'm sorry.
You just revealed a
Michelle
part of yourself.
Back it up.
What?
Back that shit up.
Shout out to Michelle.
I'm surprised that nobody's ever had a seizure in that Cash Cab, though.
Yeah.
Maybe they have, and they just can't air it.
Maybe.
Do you think, like...
They drove straight to the hospital and asked them questions along the way.
I want to know how many people... Because he always tries to disguise himself. Like, whenever they first get in the car, he'll, like, do an accent and be like, yo, how you doing?
Yeah.
Where you going? And then all of a sudden, he'll, like, flip the switch and he's like, hey, everybody, you're in Cash Cab. I wonder how many people are just like, nope, and just like, get out. And, like, not like, doing this.
What is this?
Is this a game show?
It's a cab of cash.
The price is right in a car.
No, but in all honesty, that show's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Very
it never gets old.
Entertaining.
Never gets old. It's really entertaining.
It's just like somebody said, hey, let's take Jeopardy and put it in a cab and put it in New York City. What?
You love Jeopardy.
Jeopardy is fun. Right.
Jeopardy is fun.
So you ready to close this out?
Yeah. Well, me and Dot?
You're the best, girl.
Girl,
look
I'm
at you.
I am looking at me. well, thank you guys for listening so much. We love each single one of you.
Everyone. Not one left out.
No.
Even you, guy.
If you like what you hear, subscribe to us. We are on iTunes and Podomatic. It's Pods and Rec, PODSANDREC. Sometimes we use the ampersand, though, so you can find us either way. We have an email. You can email us at podsandrec@gmail.com. We are on Instagram and Twitter. And thinking about doing a Facebook page. I don't really know about it yet. I haven't talked to my co-host and decided if we're going to do it yet. But I'm Tammy, and you can follow me at Tambourine Tam with two M's on Instagram. And that's pretty much it for me.
Yep.
Stephanie?
I'm Stephanie, and you can follow me at Among the Atmosphere on just Instagram, because Twitter apparently is no more. Yes. For me. It exists for other people. Not for me, though.
Not for you.
Not for me.
And I'm Brad, and you can follow me on Snapchat. I'm just kidding. You can't do that.
Oh, my God. I have a Snapchat, too, if you guys want to follow me, because Snapchat is my most favorite thing. I wish you would get a Snapchat, Brad, and Stephanie, because it's like all I do all day.
Maybe someday. Maybe.
Besides work. I work. I go to work.
Are you trying to convince us? Or
I work when I'm at work.
I think your boss is listening to this podcast right now.
Don't fire me.
No.
I'm just not even planning on going in on Monday. So, I'm volunteering.
So Tammy's looking for a job, if anybody can help her out.
Yeah, if any feelers out there.
Professional candy dealer.
I can make chocolate, too. but yeah, guys, so have a good couple of days, and we'll see you
next time.
Next time.
Next time.
Barbra Streisand.
Barbra Streisand.